Chapter 29. If I am anxious about this evening's trip to the opera, Grandmamma is beside herself. I do hope these gloves will do, she tuts as a seamstress makes last-minute adjustments to my gown, a white Duchess satin, the colour young ladies wear to the opera. Grandmamma has had my first opera glove sent round from Whiteley's department store. The seamstress slips the pearl buttons through the loops at my wrist, shutting my naked arms away behind expensive kid leather. My hair has been artfully arranged away from my face with flowers in the chignon, and, of course, I've put on Simon's lovely necklace. When I spy myself in the mirror, I must admit that I look quite lovely, like a true and proper lady. Even Tom rises when I enter the parlour, shocked to see my transformation. Father takes my hand and kisses it. His own hand shakes a bit. I know that he was out until dawn, and he slept all the day, and I hope that he is not taking ill. He mops his sweaty brow with a pocket square, but his voice is merry enough.
You are a queen, my pet, isn't she, Thomas?
Not an embarrassment, to be sure, Tom answers. For an imbecile, he's rather elegant in his tails.
Is that the best you can manage?
Father admonishes. Tom sighs.
You look most presentable, Gemma. Do remember not to snore at the opera. It's frowned upon.
If I have kept myself awake while you speak, Tom, I'm certain I can manage.
The carriage has been brought round, sir.
Davis, the butler, announces, saving us all from further conversation. As we walk to the carriage, I catch sight of Kartik's expression. He stares, boldly, as if I am an apparition, someone he does not know. I'm oddly satisfied by this. Yes, let him see that I am not some impertinent girl, as the Rakshana henchman put it.
The door, Mr. Kartik, if you please,
Tom says tersely. As if pulled from a dream, Kartik quickly opens the carriage door.
Really, Father,
Tom says when we are on our way.
I do wish you'd reconsider. Just yesterday Sims made a recommendation on a driver.
The matter is closed. Mr. Kartik gets me where I need to go,
Father says stiffly.
Yes, that is my concern,
Tom mutters under his breath, so that only I can hear.
Now, now,
Grandmamma says, patting Father's knee.
Let's be of good cheer, shall we? After all, it is nearly Christmas.
As the door to the Royal Opera House opens, I'm seized by panic. What if I look ridiculous, not elegant? What if something, my hair, my dress, my bearing, is out of place? I am so very tall. I wish I was shorter, daintier, brunette, unfreckled, an Austrian countess. Is it too late to run home and hide?
Ah, there they are,
Grandmamma announces. I spy Simon. He is so handsome in his white tie and black tails. Good evening, I say, curtsying.
Good evening,
he says. He gives me a small smile, and with that smile I feel such relief and happiness that I could sit through 10 operas. We receive our programmes and join the crowd. Father, Tom, and Simon are pulled into a conversation with another man, a portly, balding fellow sporting a monocle on a chain, while Grandmamma, Lady Denby, and I stroll slowly, nodding and making our hellos to various society ladies. It is a necessary parade designed to show off our finery. I hear my name being called. It's Felicity with Anne. They are well turned out in their white gowns. Felicity's garnet earbobs shine against her white blonde hair. A pink cameo rests against the hollow of Anne's throat.
Oh, dear,
Lady Denby says.
It's that wretched Worthington woman.
The comment has Grandmamma a flutter.
Mrs. Worthington, the Admiral's wife, is there some scandal?
You do not know. 3 years ago she went to Paris for her health, they said, and she sent the young Miss Worthington away to school. But I have it on good authority that she took a lover, a Frenchman, and now he's left her and she's back with the Admiral, pretending that none of it ever happened. She is not received in the best homes, of course, but everyone attends her dinners and balls out of affection for the Admiral, who is the soul of respectability. Shh! Here they come.
Mrs. Worthington strides over, the girls in tow. I hope the flush on my cheeks does not give me away, for I don't like Lady Denby's snobbery.
Good evening, Lady Denby, Mrs. Worthington says, her smile radiant.
Lady Denby does not offer her hand, but opens her fan instead.
Good evening, Mrs. Worthington.
Felicity gives a dazzling smile. If I didn't know her better, I wouldn't recognize the ice in it.
Oh, dear. Anne, you seem to have lost your bracelet.
What bracelet? Anne asks.
The one the Duke sent from St. Petersburg. Perhaps you lost it in the dressing room. We must look for it. Gemma, would you mind awfully?
No, of course not, I say.
Be quick about it. The opera is about to begin,
Grandmama warns.